welcome to Training in Japan, the podcast that covers all things trains and travel in the land of the rising sun. I'm your host, Karun, and I'm glad to have you joining me. Last episode, I went over the Ohanami cherry blossom tradition in Japan and recommended some sites where you could experience it. This week is for the scenic train ride lovers, though, as I will be giving my personal favorite railway journeys that you can take around the Kanto region. So with that, let's begin the episode. Firstly, what is the Kanto region? Well, located on the eastern coast of Japan's island of Honshu on the Pacific Ocean and stretching inland to peaks of the Japanese Alps, Kanto is a geographical region that serves as the political, economic, and cultural center of the country, as well as being the most populous, with 42.6 million people, and consists of Tokyo, Kanagawa, Saitama, Chiba, Gunma, Tochigi, and Ibaraki prefectures. At the heart of the region is the Kanto Plain, a lowland area that is home to Tokyo, Japan's capital, along with other major cities such as Yokohama, Chiba, and Kawasaki. The plain makes up slightly more than 45% of the Kanto region and is also the country's largest plain, with a total area of 17,000 square kilometers. The other half is hills and mountains that border the other regions of Nippon, one of which, of course, is Mount Fuji, the nation's tallest mountain and symbol, but you didn't need me to tell you that. In addition to the urban centers and mountainous outer region, the Kanto region is also abundant with scenic landscapes and natural agricultural resources. In the north, the Tone River, Japan's second longest river, passes through valleys and the wider Kanto Plain. In the south, the Miura Peninsula in Kanagawa Prefecture juts out into the Pacific Ocean and contains rugged coastlines, sandy beaches, and seaside towns. The climate in the north of the region differs from that in the south, with northern winters harsh with occasional snowfall, while the south is relatively warmer during that period of the year. One of the region's most distinctive features is its network of hot springs, or onsen, which cover the landscapes, mainly areas around the mountains like Hakone, Nikko, and Gunma, offering relaxation to those who use them. Now that you have a better understanding of Kanto, here are six of the most enjoyable train rides I've taken that showcases the best of the region. I won't be talking about some of the destinations themselves in detail since I have covered them before in previous episodes, and also I want to highlight the train ride themselves. First up is the train ride on the JR Ome line, specifically the section from Ome Station to Okutama, a mountain getaway location which I covered in the Japanese Countryside episode. There are several reasons why this is an attractive journey for many. 1. It's close to Tokyo, as it only takes about 90 minutes to get to Okutama, which travels via the Ome line anyway, so you don't have to change trains, making it relatively accessible to those looking for a short ride. 2. It is very beautiful, as from Higashi Ome Station, the line becomes a single line track and effectively turns itself into a mountain railway, one that follows the valley carved out by the crystal clear waters of the Tama River below, and it looks completely picturesque. Not only that, the looming mountain ranges that you pass through have their own charm to them, especially during the autumn months when the leaves change their colors. 3. The final destination itself, Okutama, has many activities for you to do so, like seeing the Nippara limestone caves, going to Lake Okutama, or relaxing at nearby onsens. You don't just have to turn around immediately once arriving at the station. Overall, I highly recommend this trip to anyone who wants a nice day trip from Tokyo, but don't want to be riding on a train for more than a couple of hours at a time. Next up is the train journey to Nikko in Tochigi Prefecture, another destination which I recommended on my episode dedicated to Tobu. And this trip will have you traveling on two lines, the Tobu Skytree line and the Tobu Nikko line, and make at least three train changes at a minimum, depending if you take local services and where your start point is, as some trains from the Tokyo Metro Hibiya and Hanzomon lines offer through services onto the Tobu Skytree line. You can also pay a premium to take the Spacia Limited Express trains from either Ikebukuro, Shinjuku, or Asakusa stations instead. They have actually recently rolled out the new models, the X model, which looks quite luxurious, so that's not a bad option in itself. I've personally gotten the most enjoyment out of this by taking the local trains, however, starting from Kitasenju Station and changing at Minami Kurahashi Station, before continuing on to Shimo Imaimachi Station for a final transfer onto Tobu Nikko. Mind you, this trip with all the changes takes about 2.5 to 3 hours one way. Alternatively, the Limited Express only takes 2 hours. So, why do I prefer the local trains? First, I like trains too much. And the second is that because a majority of this trip is in the countryside, you're going to be stopping at a lot of the stations along the way, and I really like to appreciate and take in the countryside regions a little more. Enjoying some of the station designs, you know, Shimoemachi Station comes to mind, or how these rural areas build their infrastructure around the local railway network. Even how the local populace use these countryside rail links interests me, whether it be commuting to the next town or using it to transport goods. As I said though, this is a long ride, going through Tokyo, Saitama, Gunma, and Tochigi prefectures, and the middle portion is mainly through Japanese towns and agricultural land, but the final third offers lush forest and mountain views, which is a nice change of pace and very fun to take in. Again, this is great during the autumn season. Plus, the final destination in Nikko makes it completely worth it. If you have the time and really want to get away from things for a bit, this is the journey for you. The next journey is actually relatively short compared to everything else on this list, but getting to the starting station takes a bit of time, and that's the Hakone Tozan Railway, specifically from Hakone Yumoto Station. This train ride from Hakone Yumoto to the terminus at Gora Station only takes about 40 minutes, but getting to Hakone Yumoto from Tokyo takes an hour and 45. So why? Why make the journey to the Hakone Tozan Railway? Well, if you appreciate mountain scenery as much as I do, you won't be disappointed, as the cliffs and valleys you wind your way through are nice to watch go by as you relax. The line travels through the Fuji Hakone Izu National Park, so it was designed to limit the impact of the local scenery. And don't get me started on the views from the Hayakawa Bridge, which passes over the Hayakawa River Valley and deserves its place as one of the top tourist destinations of Hakone. And yes, again, the autumn season is the king when it comes to mountain views, especially here. Furthermore, the Hakone Tozan Railway holds historical significance and design, as it is Japan's oldest mountain railway, with operations to its terminus station, Gora, beginning in 1930. The railway is capable of climbing 1 meter for every 12.5 meters of horizontal distance, with a maximum gradient of 8%. Due to this difficult topography, the line actually has 3 switchbacks that are used to go up the steepest sections of the mountain. But as mentioned in my episode on Odakyu, where I talk about the Hakone region in more detail, there is plenty to do apart from riding the train. You have the open air museum, the hot springs, Lake Ashinoko, views of Mount Fuji, and much, much more. I recommend this journey if you're looking for a full day or even a weekend trip away from the urban sprawl that is Tokyo. Now, the next 3 journeys that are on this list are more for your hardcore rail journeyman, as they are quite lengthy and don't really offer a final destination. The fun in these is more about the train ride itself, but don't let that intimidate you. They're just as enjoyable and offer just as many great views to those who ride them. Also note that these all take JR lines, so the rail pass works for those who has them. Also, be sure to check the timetables, as some of these trains only run once per hour. So first up is what I like to call the Joban Loop, which can be broken down into 5 legs and takes about a total of 6 hours to do. Leg 1 takes you from Tokyo Station to Oyama Station on the Ueno-Tokyo Line, also known as the Tohoku Line. Leg 2 is Oyama to Tomombe on the Mito Line. Leg 3 is Tomombe to Abiko on the Joban Line. And leg 4 is Abiko to Narita on the Narita Line, with the final leg from Narita to Tokyo on the Sobu Rapid Line. Told you this stuff is pretty hardcore. So why am I recommending this route? Well, like the previous entries on this list, watching the Japanese countryside go by in peace is well worth it. What makes this route unique, however, is Lake 2, as you actually pass through a wide mountain pass to the north of Mount Tsukuba, an 877-meter mountain that has 2 peaks. And as this lake is in the countryside, you have an unimpeded view of the mountain and the pass. No tall buildings to ruin your day. From Leg 3, you actually head around to the south side of Mount Tsukuba, giving you an alternative view of the mountain, but you also get to pass by the northwestern shore of Lake Kasumigaura, Japan's 2nd largest lake. Leg 4 and 5 can actually be entirely cut if you just want to get back to Tokyo at that point, as the train from Tomombe takes you directly back, but it's nice to see where the Tokyo sprawl and the Japanese countryside meets, though I know this may not be everyone's preference. What makes the jawbone loop easier than the next two on this list is while there are five legs, if you do them all, the longest one is only 1 hour and 30 minutes, giving you time to walk around, go to the bathroom, grab some food, and stretch your legs. This breaks up the journey nicely and you don't feel the length as much, but that just may be me. Overall, it's a fun trip to experience, and if you want to see the Ibaraki region, an area which isn't as popular compared to others in Japan, it's just as nice in my eyes. The next is the Bosō Peninsula Loop, which, as the name suggests, loops the Bosō Peninsula in Chiba Prefecture and consists of four legs, with a total time of 6 hours, just like the Jōban Loop. Leg 1 is Tokyo Station to Kazusa Ichinomiya Station on either the Keio or Sobu Rapid Lines. Both actually take the same amount of time, so it doesn't really matter which one you take. Leg 2 has you go from Kazusa Ichinomiya to Awa Komagawa on the Sotobu Line. Leg 3 is from Awa Komagawa to Chiba with a quick transfer at Kimitsu Station. The final leg has you go from Chiba back to Tokyo. If you're new to just jumping on trains and riding them out, I would suggest you try out the Jōban Loop first. Why, unlike the Jōban Loop, the Bosō Peninsula Loop has no real time between stations and its legs, as you have to jump from one train to the next, not really leaving you time to rest until the end of leg 3, which in itself is 2.5 hours. Thankfully, the trains do have bathrooms in them, so you don't have to worry about that. But you will need to bring your own food and water for the ride. In saying that, the reason why I like the Bosō Peninsula Loop so much is because of its unique scenery. It straddles the coastline for a majority of the route, giving you views of the Pacific Ocean on one side of the train and the mountainous core of the peninsula on the other. Once you pass the halfway point and head to the inner coastline of the peninsula, you are actually able to look across Tokyo Bay to see views of cities like Yokohama, Kawasaki, and of course Tokyo. Furthermore, Bosō is known for its beach towns like Tateyama, which is also the halfway point of this loop, so you're actually more than welcome to hop off and enjoy the local area before continuing a journey if you're really feeling its length. If you're like me and prefer the mountains, you can also hike up Nokogiriyama, with the trail about a 15-minute walk from Hamakanaya Station. As it is a coastline railway, I would avoid taking this during the rainy seasons as the strong winds may suspend operations. For me, it's best enjoyed during the summer. And the final journey on this list is definitely the longest and most quote-unquote hardcore, but very rewarding in the diversity of scenery that it offers both in nature and Japanese civilization. What is this journey? The Kanto Ring, as I'd like to call it. A trip that straddles the edges of the Kanto Plain consisting of four legs in a time of 7 hours, taking you through every prefecture in the Kanto region except for Kanagawa. There is actually a version of this which includes Kanagawa, but the trip time then is pushed to around 9 or 10 hours. So what is the leg breakdown? The first has you go from Tokyo Station to Hachioji Station in the west on the Jewel Line. Leg 2 then takes you north from Hachioji to Takasaki on the Hachiko Line with a quick change at Komagawa. Leg 3 takes you eastward from Takasaki to Oyama on the Ryomo Line. Finally, you head back south to Tokyo on the Oyama Line on the Ueno-Tokyo Line. It's a long journey for sure, but it really showcases just how vast the Kanto Plain is, while also seeing the looming mountain ranges that border it from the west and north. It's a beautiful sight that I can't do justice to you describing it, and it's one of the reasons why you should make the trip yourself so you can see it. I especially like the diversity of scenery you get to experience along the way, apart from just the mountains. You have urban, suburban, countryside, lush forests, rural cities, mountain foothills, and even pass by a flower park along the way. If that wasn't enough, Leg 2 actually includes a ride on a diesel-powered train, as that section of the line is so rural and isolated that it's not even electrified. The charm of riding more rudimentary rail vehicles is still unmatched to this day in my eyes. It would have been better if it was a steam engine, but I'm asking for too much. With that said, the Kanto Ring is a long but rewarding journey. Come prepared with food, water, and your best camera, and I'm certain you'll have a great time. And with that, another episode of Training in Japan has come to an end, and I hope you enjoyed listening. If you want updates on episodes, travel tips, or train news, follow the show on Twitter, at Training in Japan, on Facebook, and we're on Instagram now as well. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you down the line.